Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way. Whoop, whoop.
Welcome. We're back from theballlifestyle.com. It's the Ball Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 621 of the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being involved. Thank you for subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/theballerlifestylepodcast. We appreciate everybody that supports us there. You are more important than everybody else, but you already know that. Patreon.com. Consider subscribing. It's $5 a month. I'm joined now, as always, by the great Ed Daly. Ed, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. We got an update today on the Diana Russini.
Oh, my God.
Well, one thing we learned, she was making $800,000 a year
I thought journalism was dead.
It's alive and well when you're fucking one of the coaches.
They're paying some NFL lady. She's like, forgive me because I don't pay attention to this shit, she's like the lady Schefter. Like, does she break news?
Insiders are not real journalists. They're right, just getting scoops.
They're just on the phone a lot.
I just read a summary of the story, but she twice got pulled over for texting and driving and said, hey, who's your favorite NFL coach? And then she called him and like did like a FaceTime with them to get out of the ticket.
Shut the fuck up. What if they said Mike McDaniel? Oof. Then she would just call Mike Vrabel anyway. She's like, I can't do Mike McDaniel, but I could do Mike Vrabel. And what
McDaniel doesn't look like he has a meaty cock like Mike Vrabel. True.
What if she got pulled because it's Jersey? What if she pulled over and somebody was like, I like Robert Saleh.
With his like 19 kids.
Yeah,
He's the first Muslim quiverful.
He is. That's right. He had that picture of him. I mean, all you got to do, you're making 80 sticks. And like, that's so much money.
There's 32 cocks you can't break down. Yes. That's it. That's
all you got to do is not fucking coach.
Even if she's fucking an NBA coach. You report on the NFL. There are 32 dicks you cannot touch.
So easy. Like, so easy. No wonder the Shake Shack guy, who I maintain was into it. I maintain this is a hot wifing situation. I've explained the concept.
He's got the cuck chair.
He's got the chair. He's into this. You know, he helps her get ready for the dates. He's all about it. And that's why they're still hanging out and they're still kissing. Because he wasn't bummed about this. He was into it. And that's why she was doing it. And so, you know, but also she was making 80 large a year, dude. Like this, like the husband who's probably well compensated
dollars to just
to just say,
nonsense.
Max Crosby's not getting traded. Hey,
I think AJ Brown is a target for the Patriots.
Yes. God damn.
$800,000.
All because she's Jersey hot too, by the way. Because you can't be too hot and be a sports lady. You know, you got to be like middle of the road hot, and she's Jersey hot, so like she's perfect for that job. I could see why she was well paid, but she was making like double what I thought she was making, and I thought she was making a lot of money.
Yeah, she is attractive. Like,
sure, she's Jersey hot.
When Michelle heard the story, she's like, "Is she really hot?" And I said, if you saw her at a school function, you'd be like, that's a good looking woman.
Yes, you're right. Right.
Is she, you know, stop the presses hot for being on TV? No,
no, of course
she's not. She's just a, you know, attractive woman who loves enormous dicks because apparently. Mike Vrabel is a very big, thick man.
He's a huge dude. He's got to be dicked up. I mean, she was making him playlists. She was making him and She must be pretty nasty in the sack because he was putting up with her shitty playlist with like Red Hot Chili Peppers on him and shit. You know, guys
are putting up with boat tours on the middle of a Sunday afternoon if they are getting their brains fucked out.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. Okay. Let's talk about who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Time. us who is that now? Tie. It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive. Nope. Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died. Yep. Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Ed, who died this week, buddy?
Legendary producer Clive Davis, 94 years old. There are like four producers.
Yeah. You know, record executives. Yeah.
Jimmy Iovine. Right. Casey Jones.
Right. Because Clive Davis didn't produce the music. He just picked the acts.
He's just
like the guy that said, we need to sign Whitney Houston. And then he's somebody the else man. Makes the record. Yeah, he's the man.
He's the man.
He's the man. Exactly. Okay. He's the man. And I mean, you know, look, there's no like clean record executive. It's the dirtiest business.
Killed.
Yes.
He's had people killed.
It's
there's no question.
It's crazy what a dirty business. Who could forget?
And he even
Hesh?
Had those blue blockers. Those yes, are you, yes. Those are glasses telling of someone you. Who doesn't want you to see their excited reaction of seeing that's a murder.
100%. Very, very dirty. Very old man. Very rich man.
I hope everyone's sitting down because in 2026, this man died at the age of 100. Alan Greenspan, longtime head of the Federal Reserve, 100 years old, Parkinson's. I don't like seeing no cause of death when someone's 48 or 52.
Yeah.
100? Just say his cause of death was 100.
100. You know, 100. Like, also, so fucked up of God to give you Parkinson's at 100 years old. You know, right. Like, it's like, just let me die of being old. Like, my life fucking right. sucks. How am I having a disease at 100? Right. I live this long.
You just turn to dust, and this guy's getting the shakes at 100.
Do you think former NBC reporter Andrea Mitchell was still getting up on those balls?
She confirmed it to the press.
Yeah.
So maybe she gave him one last.
Yeah.
I
was a weird coupling because I assume she's like 78. You know, it was a real May December situation.
But May December, and he looked 100.
Yeah,
like he was like during the W era, he looked 100 then.
Yeah. And look, he was the head of the Federal Reserve. So if we're talking about dudes that got some secrets, you know, Alan Greenspan, I would put on that list as well. R.I.P.
Legend. Yeah. James Burroughs, director of classic sitcoms like Cheers, Taxi, Friends, 85 years old. This dude was very influential in like classic sitcoms. Big time talent.
He also made the one with Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson won an Oscar for it.
You're thinking of James L. Brooks.
Right. Different guy. Burroughs, Brooks. We need two Jameses.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, what's he doing casting Helen Hunt with that big old forehead? You know, like, I bet he wants a redo on that, but it's a different guy.
Yeah, I need, as good as it gets, I want Jack Nicholson, Greg Kinnear, and Eighthead over here.
Yes. Forgettable. R.I.P. Jim Burroughs, Cheers, classic. Taxi.
R.I.P. Justin Carey, bassist for Sixpence, None the Richer. He was 50. He had a stroke. You would know them from their one hit, which was a banger, Kiss Me.
Kiss me, kiss me in the green, green grass.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Bad.
I bet you they were still doing state fairs all summer based on that banger.
They probably were doing, I don't know what they were doing.
Well, no, because I know, I'd forgotten about Sixpence, None the Richer, but there's a country artist, Stephen Wilson Jr., is married to the lady from Sixpence, None the Richer. So I'm like, oh, they're still around when I heard they were married. And then their bass player died. And I'm like, oh, they must have still been doing stuff. Do you think they have to play that song twice? They do it at the beginning and at the end.
But you do it at the beginning, everyone leaves.
Fuck, yeah, that's a good point. So you got to make them wait.
Like, I remember the first year I was in Hoboken, they do the street festival each year. And like, usually it's small hits. Yeah. But Nancy Sinatra...
She's from there.
she's from there, yeah. or her dad was from there. Yeah. I don't know yeah. where she was from, yeah. but she performed a bunch of songs, and I was not going to stay for anything. I'm like, well, when am I going to, like, I was going to CVS and she happened to be performing next to the CVS. So I just stayed. I'm yeah. like, we're going to get to These Boots Are Made for Walking, surely. And yeah. she did like 20 minutes. And I'm like, come on, come on. Nobody knows these songs. Just, yeah. just play These Boots Are Made for Walking. She played it.
Same. There was, what, similarly, there was like a, it's called like a taste of, like they do these around here in these neighborhoods where it's a taste of, and the, like the local restaurants come out and like, do, sure. you know, they give little tastes of their food and then bands play. And one year at, in the neighborhood I lived in, it was this band. They had a hit in the 90s. They're called Lit, and they're from Orange County. They go, oh, okay. Here's their hit. It goes, I am my own worst enemy. Please oh, yeah. tell me and the guy, and, yeah, and they're just, so I'm like, oh, they're gonna do that. They're because they're from like around here, kind of. And the guy's on stage, and he, and there's all these people out there, and everybody's drunk, and he's like, you know, he's like, everybody tonight's coming up and asking me, Jeremy. I remember the guy's name's Jeremy. He goes, when's that new album coming out? And I'm like, come on, bro.
No one, nobody's not one that. Person's asked that.
No one's asked you that. No one's asked you that all night long. R.I.P. Justin Carey and that one yeah. song.
Yeah. R.I.P. Walter Parizader, founding member of the band Chicago, 81 Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Chicago, if you ever watch the, you know, David Foster? David Foster.
David Foster Wallace?
Not him. He's dead. David Foster is, he's a real hit maker. So David Foster produced like, he's so rich, Ed. He produced like Whitney Houston. He produced Celine Dion. He produced Chicago. So he was a big, like this guy made a zillion hits in the 80s. And now he's like in his 70s and he's married to that American Idol chick, Catherine. She's hot. Catherine, I can't remember her name. She's super hot, but she's literally like half his age. He's like 70 something and she's like 38, but whatever. There's a documentary about him and he's Canadian and he's real into himself. But Chicago is this fucking like amazing, like jazz.
They have a very famous riff that people know.
And they're like a horn band, and they're yeah. and they're like, we're gonna do a record with this guy Peter David Foster. And David Foster comes in, he's like, hey, he's like, you guys are getting rid of the horns and you're letting the bass player sing everything. And the bass player was Peter Cetera. Yeah. And all and the Chicago's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then they had their biggest hits ever, oh, but yeah. the rest of the band is like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, we're not, the bass player doesn't sing the songs, and they're and David Foster's like, he does now, and he's going solo, and I'm producing him. And it's like, whoa, like, that's kind of interesting. So, yeah.
He's a hit maker.
Yeah, this guy, Walter Parizader, probably hates David Foster's guts.
R.I.P. DeVay Chase. She was the girl, the star of The Ring, 35 years old. Complications from meningitis, and she was brought into the hospital a month ago with malnutrition. Oh. She looked like she was living on Skid Row.
This is like mental illness. Now, The Ring, that's the one that was like a Japanese girl. Movie.
Yeah. yeah, but then the American version, she was the one with like the hair in front of her face.
I never saw it. Do you reach into the terrifying. TV or did the TV yeah, comes some, up and gets
there's
you?
Some
right?
TV, I think you put a videotape in and this girl will.
Oh, well, don't put the fucking videotape in.
Yeah. It's one of those fucking solutions. Screaming at the screens and don't do this.
Just don't watch the thing. That's all you got to do is not watch the thing. Are you, have you seen Obsession yet? Everybody's talking about Obsession, Ed.
I saw Obsession a few weeks ago.
Give us a 45 second review.
I liked it. It's a guy, I think if you've seen the trailer, the guy wishes, I wish this woman was in love with me.
You don't want that.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah. It's
Well done. It's well done. Like, you know what this is about. And it. What I liked about it is it's kind of scary, creepy, but it's not doing the jump scare thing over and over. It's just like a good, creepy, scary movie.
a scale of 5 stars. Ed Daly gives it a, Ed sees every movie. Ed gives it a 4 stars. That's Watch a fucking pretty high rating. Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Yeah. RIP Stacey Hatfield, Aussie food influencer. She was 30. She refused an ambulance and bled out after home birth. She refused any sort of, nurse or what do you call it, doula or any of that. Yeah. She just wanted to do it on her own.
She didn't have it. She didn't.
She didn't want to help
completely on her own.
She wanted no medical assistance of any kind. And you know, sometimes when you're bleeding,
yeah, you start to bleed a lot.
Like it's she saw maybe an episode of The Nick and she thought, I want to go back to those days.
Right. When women died in childbirth, just, like 40% of the time. Yeah. You used to have to have your wife used to have an ugly sister because she was going to die on your like 6th or 7th kid.
Somebody's for sure she was going to die. Kids.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, Brenda, you're up. You're my wife now.
Yeah.
It's your turn. You know, like that's just how it worked because there just weren't enough wives around. The wives were dying constantly. And but then we developed medicine and hospitals. And now you just go there and it's fucking easy process. And the babies live every time. And the fucking wife lives every time.
She chose the world's most dangerous profession. She chose influencer.
Influencer. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. They die every week.
Yeah. might as well be a lion handler.
Like Gunther Gable Williams?
Yeah, Gunther Gable Williams. Roy Horn.
Just think of how like starved we were for entertainment.
The fact that we knew.
Yeah. I think he came on Different Strokes or something one time and Arnold's like, oh my God, it's Gunther Gable Williams. And we're like, of course it's Gunther. We love Gunther Gable Williams. He's the best.
We love our name brand people from Ringling Brothers.
Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool ring, you see.
They're as sparkly as can be.
My own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is poppin'
in
the world of sports?
So, you know, brands like glomming onto whatever is in the news.
Yeah.
And the World Cup's going on. And DoorDash, their social media account, mistakenly tagged T-Pain 4 times during New Zealand's World Cup match. I think they have a guy named Tim Payne and they just kept tagging him. And he's responding each time. And he just finally wrote, I literally don't play soccer.
I mean, that's like social media 101. Like you got to have a second window open and then you go and you look up the person that you're tagging and
they just kept doing it.
They make it pretty easy right now because you can see the verified thing and you can see the little picture. There's this band I like, one of my favorite bands, seminal LA punk band X, but their name is X. That's just a letter. So like if you're looking up one of their songs or you want to I'm at their show and I want to be cool and I want to tag a video of them, I just type in X
the band or something.
Yeah, it is. It's like X the band official. So it's like, you know, it's like you got to like kind of do a little homework on this. We've all been guilty of it. We've all fucked up and tagged the wrong person in our life, but it's like these people are doing this professionally. So you want to tag Tim Payne and not T-Pain or whatever, whoever it is. What's going on? Give us an update on the World Cup, Ed. What do we need to know about that? You're involved in that.
They expanded the field. So my son's way into it. So I'm like, I'm more knowledgeable about it. When
I saw the Congo is in it. The Congo has had a civil war for 50 fucking straight years, but somehow they have a soccer team that they can send to the World
Cup. Not only
qualifies, but also gets sent. They have a different government like every 3 weeks. And the Congo, they're the poorest country on the planet, they could send a team to the World Cup that won a game. Yes.
Talented guys.
Yeah.
But because they expanded the field, like there are more teams putting up big wins, and they're like, oh, Ronaldo. And it's like, he's doing it against Guyana or whoever, you know, like whoever it is. The stars are having their moments, but I think you don't reach the knockout rounds until maybe the weekend or next week. Oh, and then next week, then like real teams will play each other. Yeah. Like I saw right before I started that Scotland got eliminated. In Scotland, everybody was talking about them because they were out drinking the city of Boston.
I saw that. Yeah.
And like
they had the cans all stacked up.
Yeah. Their countries just like having a fun time, but like the unserious countries are getting knocked out. And then it's about to like now real teams will play real teams.
It's so kind of like that first week of the, it's kind of like the first week of that NCAA tournament.
That's right.
You know, you got to get rid of the marathon oils of the world and move on to
double directional schools.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. What else, Ed?
Cops called to Jets quarterback Geno Smith's Florida home over alleged battery as a disturbing video emerges. Now, is this video more disturbing than when he got pulled over for drunk driving and he cried that he had a small penis?
Yes. I think that's a good question. That's a good question because he was getting a DUI in that one and he was like real mouthy with the cops. But this one, it's the lady who's like his girlfriend, I guess.
Baby mom, I think.
She puts him on Front Street because she says that Geno Smith, quote, beat my ass because he hates taking care of his special needs kid. I do like that in the process of reporting, like tattling on him for being a bad dad, she does get the terminology correct on the special needs.
That's right. She didn't use the R word or something.
Right. Yeah. No, I saw a video this week of people at the local water park here. They're like a couple families got in a fight and the mom was like, my daughter has autism. And she said it like 14 times. And I'm like, I don't even think you call it that anymore. I think you say neurodivergent. Like if you have someone in your family that has that condition, you'd probably know how to say it right.
Makes me think of Pat Healy and There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
I love the goofy bastard.
He likes to work with a certain type of people. Yeah. We got the big teeth. This is kind of more damning because she says he beat my ass because he hates taking care of his special needs kid and he can't be left alone with him because he'd rather watch sex online and play Call of Duty. Now that's more embarrassing than getting a DUI. Yeah, being an adult.
He's a middle schooler.
Yes. Yes. He's playing Call of Duty and jerking it all day long.
I got to say, living in Jets country in the sense that like I want to say this area is probably 65-35 Giants Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are, I know plenty of Jets people.
Yeah.
But when they had Geno Smith the first time, it was like, we can't wait to get rid of this dude.
Yeah.
And now he's brought back as like, hey, he could be our guy when he sucked with the Raiders. Yeah. It was always going to end poorly, but like, this is ending poorly before even it had started the second time. This is not good.
Yeah, it's in this modern day NFL, you're not going to win unless you have a quarterback. And if your quarterback has been on four other shitty teams, including your own shitty team.
Right. Like, that's the most important bullet point.
Yes.
He was already on your shitty
and
team and was the biggest reason for that. He's not good.
It's like,
and he has a small penis, according to him.
According to him. And also like this is a problem with the NFL. It's like, they're like, oh, bring in the known quantity. I don't want to get fired. You know, like I want to at least win like six or seven games. So bring in the guy I know. When the real move is, you just fucking take a flyer on somebody that looks good and you end up with who's the guy on the 49ers? Brock something.
Yeah. Brock Purdy.
Purdy.
But here's the problem.
Tell me.
The last Super Bowl was won by Sam Darnold, a guy who had flamed out on several teams.
That's true.
But they had a kick-ass defense and maybe the best receiver in the NFL. And it's like he was able to thrive because there were other factors and people are like, you know what? that guy we gave up on, including the Jets giving up on Darnold, like, maybe he could be the guy. And so teams are going to talk themselves into one of these retreads as being the answer.
Game manager. We just need a game manager. Get us, or they're like
Dilfer.
Right. Or we're just going to pretend that we're not trying to be shitty. And so we can be shitty so we can get Arch Manning. But Arch Manning's going to do that thing where he's like, I ain't going to the fucking Jets. You know, like, what are you doing? You know how much money I make here in Texas?
His family is known to just refuse to be drafted by
him. That works out for them. You know, like, it's Arch Manning's ain't going to no Jets. I'll tell you that much, right? Arch Manning going to the Steelers? Sure. You know, the Jets? That's not happening. What else, Ed?
So the Knicks, when they won the title, it leaked the owner, James Dolan, had a speech to the players. And there have been enough interviews where the players kind of laugh about this, but he wanted everyone to make sacrifices for 10 weeks, including not having sex. Now, they James all Dolan kind of said this? Yeah, he asked the players, like, I think we've got a team who can win it. I need sacrifices. He asked the team to not have sex for 10 weeks. And so in post interviews, the guy's like, we did some sacrificing, but then they all chuckle and we're like, you didn't have sex for 10 weeks? Like, these are supreme athletes in the best shapes of their lives. They are not having, they're not withdrawing from sex for 2.5 months. Yeah. They just aren't. But anyway, it was like kind of a joking talking point. And so during the parade, Josh Hart's wife was like grinding against him and he just posted, yeah, I'm in there tonight after the parade.
What is James Dolan doing talking to the team? Like, who is this guy? They don't want to hear from his dipshit. You know,
it's so annoying to blame him for how bad things have been for most of the 21st century.
Yeah.
And things have fallen correctly. And people are like, huh, you got to give James Dolan credit too. No, sure you don't. He shelled out the money, but like, because his dad invented cable television, we do not need to give him credit.
No,
and there's a small percentage chance that he's going to find out I said this and ban me from the stadium because he does that for like the smallest media appearance possible, and he'll be like, "What? Well, you're banned.
You're very petty. I appreciate that." And all the worst owners do this, like James Dolan, Daniel Snyder, Artie Moreno. They got these rabbit ears about shit. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, the greatest franchise in sports, maybe in sports history, and who's the owner? You don't even know the guy. You never even heard of him. He's some fuck. He just shows up at the end when they get the trophy. You know, and
Dodgers
he's out
of don't
there.
Do well though.
What's that?
They're allowing too much paternity leave.
That's true.
That's
they've had. Rough. They've had this season. They've had like 12 children or something.
Unacceptable.
Unbelievable. And also they're and their manager is leaving the team to go go watch his daughter graduate. Graduate from Stanford, and that's just not acceptable. They didn't do that. I mean, I should talk. We should do a little behind the scenes because I was feeling kind of bad because we like to troll in our
Jason Stewart has a problem with paternity leave. That's
he has a problem with paternity leave, and he also loves Yellowstone. And he'll really double down on it. So I sent him something about like the Yellowstone guy was going to be on Joe Rogan or something. And I was like making jokes about like what, you know,
how we were just teeing off.
Yeah. How they're going to talk about land or whatever. And he goes,
the modern day.
He goes, it's you know, he thinks we're poisoned by social media. He goes, just think, you know, if there was no social media, you would be able to admit that this is the greatest storyteller of our time or something. And I couldn't agree more. Like when I think the greatest storytellers of our time, I think who's that dude that wrote Tulsa King? Like that's the guy. That is the fucking like
landman
storyteller we have. Yeah, landman. Get the fuck.
So the best thing he said to us, he said, thank God social media didn't exist where it could have told you to not be into JD Salinger. And both of us were like, what? That book is the worst.
Yeah. First, that's that book you read when you're 14.
Cause you're forced to.
Yeah. And then you're like, this fucking guy's the biggest whiner I've ever met in my life. Like,
this nomad whiner. Yeah,
people are naming their kids after this asshole. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here. And you would figure that Jason, who is a guy that likes soap operas about cartoonish masculinity would not like a book about the biggest fucking wimp in the history of literature.
That's right.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Good point.
We love Jason, though. He's the best.
Yeah, he's the best. So yes. We were talking about World Cup. We're coming back to it. Yeah. TSA has been warning foreign travelers they cannot bring ranch dressing in their carry-on bags when they're leaving America from the World Cup. So I guess, like, I'm not a big ranch guy, but I know in big swaths of the country, ranch is put on everything.
Yeah.
And foreigners are noticing and they're into it.
It's because they're, look, I'm not a big ranch guy either, but I will use it. There's one thing I will use it on every time. It's the only thing I use it on. And that's an onion ring. If I get an onion ring, I want to dip that onion ring in a little ranch. Okay, I'll do that. And there are levels to ranch. And restaurant ranch, they make, because I've done it, because I've worked in a million restaurants, they make the ranch in-house where you get a packet and it's mayonnaise and buttermilk and you whip it together and it's kind of nice, you know? The shit in the fucking jar is disgusting. Like, what? You don't want to bring a fucking, you don't want that in your house, much less in your fucking bag and bring it to your country.
You bring it back to Germany and they're going to be like, hey, maybe we need to reset some things. Like turn the clocks back to 1939 in here.
We need more rules around here.
Yeah, we need more rules. We might burn a new Reichstag building just because you brought this ranch in.
We need to pass a new infrastructure resolution here.
We got to build more roads.
More roads. What else, Ed?
Floyd Mayweather was arrested for passing a bad $200,000 check to buy a watch. This dude, who knows? Yeah, I'm sure there's a big backstory that I don't need to know. But this dude has banked so much money and also has been known to be such a piece of shit that anytime you can nab this guy for doing something shitty.
Well, Ed, I mean, if he's passing a check for $200,000... a bad check. He's buying a watch, a $200,000 watch with a bad check. That means he has no money. Right. He does not. He's out of money, which begs the question.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed, Floyd Mayweather Jr., long time, undefeated, by the way, welterweight champion. He was pretty smart about holding off and fighting all those guys at the end of their career.
So right.
He was also untested.
Untested. Fighter of all time. He originally was called the Mexicutioner, like his uncle. But he was technically great, but also really boring. But there were so many big fights back in the day when I would like pay for pay-per-view and have some buddies over. His fights were always boring.
So boring. So boring. Because he was
technically good. He's a good defensive fighter. He just
knew how to counter puncher. So he'd hang back, you know, he'd lock up, he'd let you come in on him, he'd block everything, and then he'd hit you with the combination coming back. Real boring. How fucking rich do you think he is, Ed?
So, well, the fact that he just got caught for passing a bad check indicates he's so poor he can't pay attention.
That's
I would say what he has banked in his career, it's got to be like $750 million.
Yeah. So the internet says that his net worth, and this is why it's hard to tell because he appears to be out of money. So the AI overview says that Floyd Mayweather's net worth is estimated to be between 100 million and 400 million. But
like what he pulled down pay-per-view back in the day.
So that in its, if Floyd Mayweather had $400 million right now, that's terribly sad. Because he accumulated $1.1 billion in career earnings during his career, Ed. So even if he only banks, say, half of that after taxes and paying managers, he made $500 million. So he should have $2 billion at this point.
Makes you think Colonel Tom Parker is managing his career.
Yes, exactly. I'll hold you. Like, you're talking about Danny Aiello last week hanging out in front of that restaurant. He used to hang in that one restaurant and keep all the fucking Jean Reno's money in the professional. You know, like, you gotta watch who's watching your money. And this Floyd Mayweather, he's buying $200,000 watches. He doesn't have a fucking pot to piss in. Okay. That'll wrap it up there for the regular portion.
You got.
Was there one more? Oh, wait, we got to do emails. Yeah, sorry. I know. I'm in such a hurry. My bad. Wait. Oh, my God. Hold on. I'm on the wrong page. We got to get to the right page and play this song.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless.
Keep that last portion in your mind. He's even worse than Ish, because, ladies and gentlemen, we have a couple of emails this week. Gentlemen, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of friend of the show, David Bray. Rest in peace. What do you want people to say about you after you die? What will your legacy be? What regrets, if any, do you have? Oh, he likes asking questions. I didn't realize those were questions for us. I thought those were just rhetoricals that he's throwing out there.
No, so maybe he's going to quote us. So we got to get our quotes right.
That email comes from the great Ish in Memphis.
Wow.
Somebody we've not heard from in probably, I'm going to guess around
Memphis. It's been about some rendezvous ribs right now.
It's been about, I would say, 7 years since it's been six years. Since we made a very crucial lineup change to this show, and I don't think Ish was on board with the lineup change. So that's, we stopped hearing from Ish around that time. It's so very nice to hear from our dear friend.
Great
Ish.
Hearing from him.
Yeah. I don't like, these are hard. And like, these are very big questions. What do you want people to say about you after you die?
I think both of us have important legacy and lots of listeners do. Our kids, how they think of us and how they hopefully we've set them up to do better things in life. Yes. Like that's one thing. Yes. But the average person, what I said about David and what I said about Kyle, I do really believe that you want to be able to make your mark. You want people to think of you fondly and think of, you know, hopefully the people that cared about us will be sad and miss us, but also will think of good memories. But like, what can you do? Like, people, when you're a little kid, you think of like, hey, if I could be famous or I could do that. For the most part, you just try to live a good life and make people think fondly of you when you're gone.
Can't say it any better than that. Ed's absolutely right. You want to be remembered as a good father, good husband, good friend, you know, like that's, you know, that's just what you want people to have fond memories of you and you know, remember you in that way. Okay, that's the same legacy. What regrets? Oh, there's too many. There's too many Ish. The regretting. And also, you can't wallow in regrets because guess what? Every decision we ever made brought us to this moment right now. So what is there to regret? We're right here. We're doing the thing that we want to do.
I have a big regret. Fifth grade, I raised my hand and I called my teacher mom by mistake. And I still think of that Oh, and you say mom, and then it's like everybody looking around. And you're like, cringe. Did he just call the fifth grade teacher mom? And like, cringe. I still regret it.
I've done that as well, 100%. Okay, thank you, Ish. One more email, Ed. Gentlemen, for better or worse, I'm not dead yet. Refresh my memory. Who is even worse than Ish, Ish, Ish? Once again, Ish in Memphis with the question. I'm pretending not to know who Manuel is, apparently, because that's the guy that's even worse than Ish, Ish, Ish.
Manuel is someone who used to interact with our show.
Yeah.
But then started working a different shift.
Night shift as a plumber.
And apparently we cannot be downloaded during the midnight hour.
No, I believe, I remember he called in. Remember when Tiger Woods, I can't remember the name for what he did to his leg, but he had that car accident where he almost lost his leg. And Manuel, who likes to give us local facts, called us and told us about that road, Hawthorne Boulevard, and how treacherous it was and how people really race down that road and they end up going way too fast and they don't realize it. And I think that's the last time we ever heard from Manuel. But so whenever that was, I think that was like five years ago.
My favorite Manuel thing was he like almost like introduced a new segment. He asked us some questions. We're like,
sausage or bacon?
This or that. And we're like, this is really good. Give us more of those. Yeah. And he never listened.
Yeah. He never listened. He never listened.
And so that was it.
As I recall, and this is, you know, this is how we evolve as people. I think at that time when he offered that hypothetical, I think I was a sausage guy. And now I've come all the way back around, and now I'm 100% bacon in that situation. I'm Mr. Bacon. I'm a bacon man. Oh, hold on. Patty or Link? We talking Patty or Link?
I would choose Link over Patty.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And you would take Link over Bacon?
I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, Taylor Ham.
Yeah.
But that's Oracle. but that's only on a sandwich, right?
Yeah. That but I cannot think of the last time Michelle and the boys sometimes have bacon. I pretty much only will have a breakfast meat in the context of a bagel sandwich.
What if you go to a diner? What are you getting in a diner? What's your breakfast order at a diner? You get an omelet?
I do love an omelet. I guess it probably is bacon if I'm getting the omelet at the diner.
Yeah, probably. Bacon. Okay, we'll wrap it up there for the regular show for non-Patreon subscribers.
Welcome back, Ish.
You got to hear Ish, which is great. We love you. We will check in with you guys next week. For Patreon subscribers, the bonus portion of the show starts now.
Goodbye.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
It should be noted, Ed, that Shohei Ohtani did give up 3 earned runs in the second inning tonight.
Wow.
And although the team does have the lead, one wonders, had he not missed a day for the birth of his child earlier this week,
maybe he's not committed to being a good baseball player,
not dedicated to the team. Oh, he really lost his shit. I don't think I included you on this one. He did not like the, well, no, I don't think he responded. He's ceased responding to me lately, but the Jazz Chisholm, who I like to call
the lollipop.
Yeah. He had a blow pop in his mouth in the game, which is great because Jazz Chisholm sucks. He's having a terrible year.
The best is he, before the season, he was talking about being the first 50-50 guy. Yes. I think he's got 3 home runs. It's amazing.
He's awful, but he peacocks it like he's fucking Shohei Ohtani out there. Yes. He's also the worst at challenges to the point where the Yankees have instituted a $500 fine for getting challenges wrong. And he's like, last I looked, he was 4 for 15 on challenges, which is horrible. Ed, what's going on in the world of things that are not in fact sports this week?
Sad business news. The auto glass repair business in Oakland has been suffering due to a lack of break-ins. Wow. You know, there are consequences to changing society in some way. You make certain parts more safe, and you have problems with businesses.
People have to. A decrease in Oakland smash and grabs and vandalism has led to a downturn in business for local auto glass repair shops, which report that cracked windshields from road debris are now a more reliable source of revenue. Oakland auto glass repair shop owners say they're feeling the effects of the city's steep drop in car break-ins. According to police department data, vehicle burglaries are down 37% this year compared with the same period in 2025. Wow, very sad. We need more break-ins. You do.
Yeah. What I would say is,
yes,
we can't endorse full crime.
No.
But what we can do,
yes,
is say if your car gets broken into or if a windshield gets, do not go to Safelite. No. Go to mom and pop.
No,
it's the mom 100%. And pops that are suffering. Not patronize that garbage jingle Safelite repairs. Safelite replace. Like, fuck them.
Yeah. I've actually
mom and pop.
I've actually had a few because I drive a lot, unfortunately, Ed. Yeah. There's a lot of fucking, you know, they're doing a lot of like freeway work on my commute, and I've had a windshield crack like a couple times in the last couple years. In Safelite, they wanted like $1,400 because they tell you, Ed, that they got to recalibrate the camera.
Yeah.
Yes. But I got a local guy that I call Jeff is his name. I text this guy, Jeff, and I go, Jeff, I need a windshield for a 2015 Subaru Outback. And he goes, I can do it tomorrow. It's going to be like $350. And he comes over and he puts a new windshield in there. And I go, what about that calibration? And he's like, that's fucking bullshit. He's like, the windshield is in front of the fucking cameras. He's like, you don't touch the fucking camera. The camera's just so to Ed's point.
Always go to your local Jeff.
Yes, always. Yes, always.
Same. I've got a guy up in Union City, Omar's Discount Tires. Yes. He doesn't just do tires. He does everything.
Brakes? He does your brakes.
Of course, he does everything.
Yes. Omar, I love Omar.
Yeah. Although he has Fox News blasting at all hours.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Full volume. And like when you're waiting and you just see how the other half lives, I'm like, holy shit. We're talking about the reflecting pool conspiracy theories here, it happens.
Well, the people are cutting it, Ed. They're cutting it, and they're putting algae creating chemicals in the reflecting pool.
It has nothing to do with a guy giving a no-show contract to one of his buddies.
I know. Why did we need to do that, by the way? Like, who gives a fuck? No. Like, what is going on? Yes.
Sad news. Jelly Roll and Bunny XO have filed for divorce. Some are claiming it's a publicity stunt.
Are you just trying to ignite my rage, my Jelly Roll rage here, Ed? Because why are we dealing with this guy? What are we doing here with this Jelly Roll?
We know that he lost some weight. There was a whole story where it's sex with...
Yeah.
It's too much. There's enough stories. But then...
Yeah.
We were a little light on stories until one appeared today. Yeah, and I go, let me take a gander at TMZ.
Yeah.
And it's a million stories starring people I've never heard of.
I know.
And I get it. I get it. I'm not plugged in. But all the stories sound like this. Jelly Roll and Bunny XO have filed for divorce. And Jelly Roll foe Nicole Arbour claims... Who are any of these people?
Nicole Arbour, I happen to know, is the one that, like, I think they were, like, trying to get her in a threesome or something. There was, like, sex coercion. I'm not sure exactly. But she's like a Jelly Roll truther, this Nicole Arbour. But, like, more importantly, like, why the fuck do we know who this Jelly Roll guy is? Like, what is he, like... He's Avatar, Ed. No one has ever fucking heard one of his songs. No one, like, you're the biggest Jelly Roll fan in the world. Sing me a song. It'll be like some other song. It'll be like a cover that he, you know, like, no, I want to know what Jelly Roll does. Like, he does, he sings. And then I go, oh, he's selling out Staples Center this weekend. And I'm like, there's no one's ever bought a ticket. Right? No one's ever bought a CD. No one's fucking signing up for any of this Jelly Roll bullshit. Like, Jelly Roll is not real.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. He exists, but he's like Avatar, you know, where it's just they're telling you he's popular. He ain't popular. There are no Jelly Roll fans. And I had, you know, I did a video about this. I did a bonus Brian talked about it, and I posted it to my Instagram, and I got all the Jelly Roll people.
The Jelly Roll army came after you.
And they're like, you've never been to Ames, Iowa. And I'm like, there's not enough people in Ames, Iowa to fucking keep this Jelly Roll guy out there. Like, bullshit. There's no way.
Like, we know Insane Clown Posse. We love them. Like real artists.
Yeah, that's right. And our dear friend Janie Cowan sent us video evidence of the of the Faygo disaster that they left at the venue that she was working at.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Florida couple in IVF clinics embryo mix-up will keep the baby who isn't genetically theirs, and they shared pictures, and this is a Shantae Jr. situation. Yeah. Like, if you had a baby and 3 months later, and you're like, oh, that's not your baby, but you thought it was your baby. I get it. You've loved a baby. We've both been there where you have a baby and you meet the love is there immediately.
There. But
you could see there was a mix up at the IVF clinic, like immediately.
2 seconds in. 2 seconds.
This
into
is
that.
A Shantae Jr. situation. This is not.
Yeah.
Their baby doesn't look like this. Different race. This lily white couple.
Yeah.
So I just wonder why they didn't catch on to it quick,
right away, like right away. Yeah, just like you're saying, Ed, like right,
wow.
You know, they come out, you know, and it's just like, oh, honey, and I guess because it's IVF, you know, the husband can't be in like an accusatory mode because,
right,
you know, it's like,
but like surely there was something's up, but yeah, like I'm glad this baby is loved. It's just it shouldn't have taken several months to know that there was a mix-up.
Right, it is. And, you know, good for these people.
Yeah, I love that there's a loving home. The world needs lots of loving homes.
Sure.
But
we need more.
This is Shantae Jr.
Yeah, it's little Lee Harvey.
Lee Harvey.
What else, Ed?
Finally, an AI-generated Michael Caine has narrated a new 13-hour Odyssey audiobook ahead of Christopher Nolan's summer blockbuster. So now we're just getting AI generated audiobooks.
What are we doing, Ed?
I've had your masturbation.
Also, the Odyssey is already a book.
Yeah. It's been a long time. It's been out there.
Yeah, it's been around a minute. So I imagine some other dude actually sat and read that shit. And so Michael Caine had to sign off on this. He's like, so Michael Caine probably gets the money. And he didn't do the reading.
Cyclops.
She
and
was
the princess of Maine and the kings
old.
Of New England. And
also,
it reminds me of the time I was in love with Barbara Hershey and Hannah and our sisters.
How's Michael Caine still kicking, by the way? He's got to be 95 years old.
There is never a movie I've said I won't take, including Jaws 3D.
Jaws 3D. Wait, isn't that the one where Jaws came to the Bahamas?
Yeah.
And they were like in condos, and Jaws got into the pool or something.
A poor boy born without a father. It's poor Odysseus. Oh, the S's in Odysseus.
Yeah.
Odysseus.
It's too many. And look, Christopher Nolan.
I like want to see that movie.
Yeah, come on, so long.
It looks pretty badass.
It's a literal Odyssey. It's an actual Odyssey. There's going to be a lot of CGI. Oh,
I'm going to see it. This looks like something I like.
Yeah, I was and Matt Damon, great. You know, he's great and everything. I was over at my girlfriend's house, a couple weeks ago, Ed, and we're talking about, she has younger sons, like teen sons, and we're sitting there talking, and we're talking about movies, and I'm like, yeah, you guys should make a list of like all the great movies, and you know, you're young and you should like know about this stuff. And I was like, and I said, this was a mistake. I said, you guys, Matt Damon's name came up, and I go, you guys really need to watch The Talented Mr. Ripley. I'm like, that is such a good movie. Like, you're, you know, and my girlfriend's like, oh, I've never seen it. And she's really into movies. And I'm like, oh, that surprises me. So we threw it on, Ed. It's a great movie. And everyone should see it.
I was going to say it stinks.
No, it's amazing. It's a great movie. But it was kind of tough because I'd forgotten how gay it is. Like, it's
very gay with people. Really gay.
And it was like, I was uncomfortable because I'd recommended it to a 13-year-old child, you know? Like, I'm like, maybe wait a couple years. And like, what's it say about me? Where I'm like, hey guys, you really need to see this super gay movie that I love. I love this movie that's super gay, and you barely know me, hey, Mom, and you should watch it.
Your boyfriend's you know, Mr. Frilly would have been like, you know, he's a little
lighten the loafers. Okay, let's wrap it up there. Fantastic work as always
from my friend Ed in the movie Cars 2. I played Finn McMissile. I forgot
that. For Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode number 621 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We appreciate you listening. We will see you next time.
Goodbye.